All right. Hello, everyone. Happy, happy Sunday. For some of you, it's the middle of a three-day weekend that you don't get every weekend. So congratulations on that. For me, tomorrow is still a work day, even though I don't have, you know, a traditional job. I will be teaching the seven steps tomorrow. I have some phone calls tomorrow. I have ordination class tomorrow. So there's a lot going on tomorrow. But for those of you who have a day off tomorrow, and today is the middle of your three-day weekend, congratulations. We are here now for the seven steps to awakening, and I am going to be teaching from step two, beginning with quote number 315. What I'm going to do is post a link to 315 in the room for you all. If there's anyone that's listening on the radio, just go to RDA7, that is the digit 7, it is not spelled out, RDA7stepsjournal.wordpress.com. And when you find yourself to that, when you find your way to that blog, what you can do is look up on the title bar. You'll see where it says step 1, step 2, step 3. Click on step 2. And then click on the numbering sequence that will allow you to find your way to number 315, because that is where we are beginning tonight. And what I would like to do first, of course, is just take a moment of silence. So if y'all would join me in that, it would be wonderful. Thank you. Amen. All right, so I'm going to be reading first from the book, The Seven Steps to Awakening. I'm on page 64. The quote that I'm going to read comes from Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj, and this is the quote. However great and complete is your world, it is self-contradictory and transitory, and altogether illusory. Again, however great and complete is your world, it is self-contradictory and transitory and altogether illusory. And Jay has popped into the room, so I will give you the link again. And why don't we go to the journal and look and see what was written at 315. Can a dream be constant? I'm going to go through this a little bit slowly, maybe, because what was happening for me after reading this quote and contemplating this quote from Sri Nisargadatta is that a self-inquiry happened. And as I've mentioned to you all before, that when a self-inquiry happens, at least the way I experience it, it's like the thinking mind is not involved at all. What happens is the question is provided, but then as the question is provided, there's a seeing that is also provided that answers the question. So there doesn't have to be any ego thinking about the question. That doesn't happen at all. So when this said, can a dream be constant? What was immediately seen, it's an obvious fact, actually, but but just not always paid attention to. What was immediately seen is that I have never had, and this is just referring to nighttime dreams. It's helping me to look at nighttime dreams first. There has never been a nighttime dream in which there wasn't some type of action going on, right? Just like there's never a movie. You never watch a movie just staring at light on a blank screen. We wouldn't pay for that. You know, with the movie, there's something going on. There's people talking. There's moving about. It's constantly changing. The scenery of the movie is constantly changing. And the same is true for a dream. When you have a dream, one thing happens and another thing happens and another thing happens, right? It's constantly changing. So, can a dream be constant? And the answer is no, that has never been experienced. I've never experienced a constant dream. Then isn't change the nature of a dream? And the answer to that has to be yes. The nature of a dream is change. That is the only type of dream I have ever experienced, right? The next question then came, what is the nature of the world? And the scene is clearly that it's change. The world always changes. There is nothing about the world that remains constant. Just in church today, you know, there was a discussion that happened in church today about how much spirituality has changed since some of the older people that are in our church were younger. You know, they said some of the things that we talk about openly now, you know, like God is not a person. Said back then, when they were younger, you wouldn't have said that, at least not in public, maybe in a closet, but you wouldn't talk openly about that. So everything is always changing here at this level of the dream, of the world. So what is the nature of the world? It is also change. Isn't the nature of the world the same as the nature of a dream? Now, for me, in the self-inquiry, when this fourth question was asked, you could say there was a kind of an answer that was kind of like bingo. Bingo. Isn't the nature of the world the same as the nature of a dream? What was seen is that the answer is absolutely yes. You know, we study books like A Course in Miracles, NTI. We study the teachings of Srinivasa Gadadha Maharaj, Ramana Maharshi, etc. And we certainly study that the world is a dream. This is not anything that at an intellectual level we are not familiar with. But the self-inquiry that started for me with number 315 began to look at that idea. Because prior to this, it was only an idea. Look at that idea that the world is just a dream and began to see it for myself. And so this self-inquiry that we're looking at now is just the first of many. This is just the first one. But notice how flawless it is in what it's pointing out. First, it looks at the nighttime dream. And it points out that a dream is never constant, that a dream is always changing, that is the nature of a dream. There's no such thing as a dream that remains constant. It's always changing. Things are happening. There's movement, right? And then it asks, what's the nature of the world? And it's seen that it's the same. The world is always changing. It is never constant, right? Even the weather changes. Everything about the world changes. And then it asks, isn't the nature of the world the same as the nature of a dream? And this was the bingo. That is absolutely true. They have the same nature, change. And the next question then became, if the two have the same nature, why call one a dream and the other reality? Doesn't evidence imply both to be a dream? And of course, if you are familiar at all with what's happened so far in this Seven Steps journal, of course, it doesn't only happen here. It happens in spiritual materials, spiritual discussions everywhere. There's also a focus on that which is constant, that which doesn't change. People often call that awareness, right? And so what this quote is pointing out is that not everything really changes. A dream changes, the world changes, but there is also something that is constant. Even though that's not said here, it's implied, because the journal has already referred to that which is constant. So if there is something that is constant, and then there's nighttime dreams and the world that change, why say there's a difference between the nighttime dream and the world if they share the nature of change? Why not categorize both of them as a dream? So again, number 315, can a dream be constant? Isn't change the nature of a dream? What is the nature of the world? Isn't the nature of the world the same as the nature of a dream? If the two have the same nature, why call one a dream and the other reality? Doesn't evidence imply both to be a dream? And I'm just going to go back and read the Srinivasagadatta quote again. However great and complete is your world, it is self-contradictory and transitory and altogether illusory. All right, so if you are in the journal with me, you can scroll down underneath the comment and reply area and click on number 316. I will also post a link to number 316 in the room. And first, I will read the next quote in the Seven Steps to Awakening. Again, this is from Srinivasagadatta Maharaj. If you seek real happiness, unassailable and unchangeable, you must leave the world with its pains and pleasures behind you. And without going any further, this makes perfect sense following on the heels of the last journal entry, because the last journal entry very clearly looked at how the nature of the world is change. And so if the nature of the world is change, that means there cannot be a consistent happiness, an unchangeable happiness. Not if we believe the world is reality and we believe that we are this body or this person in this world. Because although the world may sometimes deliver, you know, things that make us quite happy, you know, a raise at work, you know, a new romantic partner, the birth of a child, you know, there are lots of things that we really love in the world and that make us very happy. All of those situations change, or something else comes into play and unhappiness returns. So, again, number 316 from Srinivasagadatta Maharaj. If you seek real happiness, unassailable and unchangeable, you must leave the world with its pains and pleasures behind you. All right, let's look at number 316 in the journal. The nature of the world is change, yet one's true nature is constant. Constancy must be as it is because that is its nature. Deluded ideas that lead to world attachment and identification distract from true nature, which is constant. Deluded ideas are inharmonious with true nature. This creates a perceived conflict or struggle. All suffering is the result of apparent disharmony with true nature. Since harmony cannot be established in a dream, because change is the nature of a dream, Awakening to truth is the way to establish or realize harmony. Since the world is a dream with change as its nature, detachment from the world is a necessary part of awakening willingness, which is a necessary part of awakening to or realizing constancy, true nature. So there's quite a bit in this. Of course, it just begins with the review that the nature of the world is change, and constancy, or that which is constant, is our true nature. Now, what's interesting, if that which is constant is our true nature, well, then that means that we continue to exist at a, you know, I'll just say at a level that is constant, while everything perceived within the dream or within the world is changing. We continue to exist at a level that is constant, while everything that is perceived in the dream is changing. If, however, we lose awareness of our constancy, and we believe that we are this dream figure, which also changes, it grows older and it becomes educated, and its mental opinions change with education, and, you know, it also changes. So if we lose sight of our true nature, which is constant, and we identify with the dream character as who we are, and then we naturally begin to attach to things in the world, what happens now is we have lost track of our constancy, and we've now identified with change. So we're out of harmony with ourself. Instead of realizing the constancy that we are, we're now caught up in experience. Experience being defined as that which changes. So there are, you know, good days, no doubt, but there are also bad days. Now, what happens is somewhere within us, there is a knowing that isn't, you know, it isn't conscious in the ego mind, but there is a knowing that constancy is our nature. There is a knowing that all of this change, this happy one moment, unhappy the next moment, isn't natural for us. You know, the way the Course words it is, God's will for me is perfect happiness. But of course, if you take away the idea of a God that is separate from us, that is referring to our true nature. Our true nature's will, in fact, even more than that, our true nature's nature is consistent happiness. So when we're attached at the level of experience, believing that is what we are, the level of the world, believing that is what we are, and we're caught up in this change, at the same time, there's something in us that knows this just isn't right, that we should be consistently happy. That's what we were made to be, consistently happy, created to be. So there's a struggle then that happens where we are trying to maintain that balance. We're trying to achieve and maintain that balance of consistent happiness, but there's an error that's going on, and the error is we don't realize we are consistent happiness. We've lost sight of that true nature. We think we are the dream character, and we think the world should be set up in a way that makes us happy. So we go around trying to manipulate the world and manipulate the body in order to achieve this consistent happiness that we know is, as the Course puts it, our inheritance. And it's a struggle that has no end, because the nature of the world is change. It is impossible to achieve the consistent happiness that we know is our nature or our inheritance. It is impossible to achieve consistent happiness in a world of change, even if we get all of the pieces set up just right so that we can kick back and say, take a breath and say, okay, now I'm happy. Something's going to happen that's going to throw all of that out of whack again. So our suffering really comes from a kind of an unconscious knowledge that we should be consistently happy. You know, but we forget that our consistent happiness just comes from knowing our true nature. And so we're struggling to try and have this consistent happiness in a world of change where it's absolutely impossible. It can't ever happen that way. And again, the Course calls this the ego's seek but do not find. The only answer for us in order to realize the consistent happiness that we know somewhere within us that we are to have is to let go of the idea of the world, to let go of the idea that I am this body, that I am this person, and to return to the realization of our constant, non-changing true nature. And that's the answer. That's how the constant happiness that we know we are supposed to have and be are the same thing. That's how it's realized. So number 316 says, the nature of the world is change, yet one's true nature is constant. Constancy must be as it is because that is its nature. Deluded ideas that lead to world attachment and identification distract from true nature, which is constant. So we forget ourselves, right? Deluded ideas are inharmonious with true nature. This creates a perceived conflict or struggle. All suffering is the result of apparent disharmony with true nature. Again, we're caught up now in a world of change, and that's not harmonious with our true nature, which is constant. And at the same time, we know somehow, you know, maybe not everybody can say it, but we know that true nature is what we deserve. It's our inheritance. We know we deserve, that we should have, that we should be constant happiness. So we know something is wrong. Since harmony cannot be established in a dream, because change is the nature of a dream, awakening to truth is the way to establish or realize harmony. Since the world is a dream with change as its nature, detachment from the world is a necessary part of awakening willingness, which is a necessary part of awakening to or realizing constancy, which is true nature. So again, this last paragraph is telling us, you know, in effect, that there is a practice that you can engage in now to, you know, you don't need the experience of suffer, 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 awake. Now, it has been done that way. It has been done that way. Suffering occurred up until the moment of awakening. For people like Byron Katie, for example, she's a great example. I think Eckhart Tolle would also say he was an example. But it doesn't have to occur that way. Jesus tells us this in the Course. There doesn't need to be suffering, suffering, suffering until awakening to true nature. What can happen in the process of still being within the dream is because there is an inner realization that has already occurred of our truth. Even though that may not be fully realized, it is realized to some degree. We can engage in the practice of detachment, which is the practice of becoming focused on our constancy, which is always present. And as we become focused on our constancy, we are no longer reaching out to the world for the source of our happiness. I mentioned, I think it was last week, that this is what happened for me when I was practicing the I am that I am mantra. Somehow, you know, miraculously we could say, because I didn't know what was supposed to be the outcome of practicing that mantra. But as I practiced the I am that I am mantra, at some point something within me shifted where I came to realize at a level that's not intellectual. Some people might call it the intuitive level, but I just came to realize that I'm that which is constant. And as I came to realize that I'm that which is constant, I no longer needed all of the pieces around me to fall into place in order for me to be happy. And what I noticed, kind of the outcome of realizing I'm that which is constant, is that things could happen, you know, in my life that previously definitely would have been upsetting to me, and they no longer were. So what we can do, this last paragraph is telling us, is, you know, we don't need to stay fully attached to the world, fully believing we're a person, fully thinking we need everything to always be our way when that's never going to happen until the moment of awakening. You know, if we are able to even hear this teaching, if we're within ears, you know, if our ears are able to hear this teaching, then we already have enough awareness in us of what we are that we can begin to practice detachment. We can begin to notice that we really don't need the world to be a certain way for us to be happy. We can begin to notice that all we need to do is stay focused on that within us which is constant. And the more we focus on that within us which is constant, the more that constancy is the source of our happiness, right? Some people would say that is God. You know, God is the source of my happiness. That constancy becomes the source of our happiness, and the world is allowed to change without interruption to the happiness. This is what detachment means. So I'll read the last paragraph again. Since the world is a dream, with change as its nature, detachment from the world is a necessary part of awakening willingness, which is a necessary part of awakening to or realizing constancy, true nature. And what you can do then is just scroll down underneath again the comment and reply area, and you will come to number 317, and we will move on to 317. I am posting a link in the room as well. In the book, The Seven Steps to Awakening, we are done with Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj quotes for step two. And we're now moving into quotes, which are really excerpts from the Supreme Yoga. The Supreme Yoga is a book. I have ordered it, and I have it in my house now, but I'm not reading it because, as you know, I'm only focusing on this work now. I'm not reading other books. But the next quote, number 317, comes from the Supreme Yoga, and this is the quote. Neither freedom from sorrow nor realization of one's real nature is possible as long as the conviction does not arise in one that the world appearance is unreal. And what's really interesting about that is that this is also what NTI says. I think starting as early as Matthew, it really emphasizes that one thing that we need to accept is that the world is not real. And so here we have the Supreme Yoga saying the same thing. Of course, A Course in Miracles, Lesson 132, says that its central theme, the central theme of A Course in Miracles, is that the world does not exist, right? So, again, the Supreme Yoga says, neither freedom from sorrow nor realization of one's real nature is possible as long as the conviction does not arise in one that the world appearance is unreal. All right, let's look at the journal, number 317. The decision that has been made is the decision to lose interest in the world and to lose interest in thoughts about the world. And for those of you who don't know, that is a decision that I made by seeing how reasonable it is that as long as I remain caught up in the world and caught up in thoughts about the world, I am also fully engaged with ego. Therefore, to lose interest in the world and to lose interest in thoughts about the world is to disengage from ego. And this made sense to me. And so I made the decision that I would engage in this practice of losing interest. The decision that has been made is the decision to lose interest in the world and to lose interest in thoughts about the world. The purpose of this decision is to realize true nature without any remaining delusion or belief in false self. Since the world is mesmerizing to the woman and to the dreamer, loss of interest in the world and loss of interest in thoughts about the world is necessary. Without loss of interest, world-focused attention builds the illusion of false self, either woman or dreamer, as who I am. With false identification tied to the idea of world, there cannot be realization of that which is constant, and so there cannot be realization of truth. So what's happening at this point is that, you know, several previous journal entries are all starting to be tied together. The journal is really beginning to build on itself. But one idea that is clearly in here is the idea that came from number 316, is the idea of detachment. And also what came from number 315, the idea that the world is change and that our true nature is constancy. So what this is saying is, in order to realize that I am that which is constant, which is literally, of course, it's not the woman, because the woman is a character in the dream, but it's also not even the dreamer of the dream. The dreamer is the first level of illusion, actually. That which is constant has never changed. In A Course in Miracles, this is referred to as God, and we know that it says that, you know, God is not even aware of the illusion. That's because the first level of what we are, the truth of what we are, has not dreamed. It has never changed at all. There has been no change in it. And so in order to realize that I am that which is constant, in order to realize my truth, again, I cannot be attached to change. If I remain attached to this body, this personality, as who I am, believe it or not, and this will come out in the journal later, if I even get too excited about my awakening, there's a bit of a delusion that's happening there, because even awakening is a change, right? So when I get too excited about my awakening, again, I'm very attached to the idea that I am a woman who was not awake, and now I am awakening. And these ideas are not true, because that is not who I am. I am not a woman awakening. So what the practice is actually asking me to do is to notice whenever I'm having thoughts where I am attached to change, or whenever I'm having emotional reactions because I'm attached to change in the world, and to gently begin to lose interest in that change that I'm attached to, whether it's changing thoughts in the mind or changing experience within the world. Just to casually lose interest. And the purpose for losing interest is to awaken to constancy. So this isn't a lot different than, you know, let's imagine that I was addicted to soap operas on TV. And that I start noticing that my addiction to soap operas on TV really isn't helpful to me. You know, maybe what's happening is I'm noticing that my house is not being cleaned, and my husband is very upset about that, so there's a fight every night. Maybe I'm really starting to notice I'm not giving my attention to my young children that I should. They aren't really learning the self-discipline they need to learn, because I'm not guiding them in the way I should, because I'm always watching TV. Maybe I'm noticing I'm gaining weight. Maybe I'm noticing that my self-hatred is coming up as a result of gaining weight. Maybe I'm noticing physically I simply don't feel as well. I don't have the energy. And I know that the problem, my core problem, is that I'm addicted to watching TV. Well, if I want to begin to resolve these problems that all come out of one cause, being addicted to soap operas, then what I really want to do is start to lose interest in the soap operas. And I'm not going to lose interest in the soap operas if I tune into them with the same intensity that I've always tuned into them for before. Maybe I'm too addicted to just turn them off completely. But maybe I can start learning to turn them on a little late. You know, maybe I can start learning to skip a day a week. Maybe in some way I can begin to reduce my intense interest in soap operas. And as I begin to reduce my intense interest in soap operas, maybe now I'm starting to give my children the guidance they need a little more, and maybe I'm starting to see a change in them, and I feel good about that. Maybe the house is starting to be a little cleaned up, and my husband comes home, and he's happy, so I feel good about that. You know, maybe through the contrast, I'm starting to notice that what I'm experiencing as a result of losing interest, I actually enjoy more. You know, this feels much better. And so even by losing interest a little, as I begin to have an experience that feels better for me, healthier, more wholesome, I then get the willingness to lose interest more. So although that's a completely made up example, it's the same thing, because the world is a soap opera and we're addicted to the soap opera. And being addicted to the soap opera is the one cause of all of our problems. And so if we want to have the solution to our problems, if we want to end our suffering, if we want to come to know consistent peace and happiness, we need to begin to lose interest in the soap opera that is the world, the soap opera that may appear to be my life. We need to begin to lose interest. And maybe, again, we can't lose interest all at once. Maybe that's too big of a step. But we can begin to notice areas where we can lose interest. You know, a great place to begin losing interest is made-up crap. Stuff that at the level of form isn't even real, you know? There's a ton of stuff that goes on in the mind where we're just making up crap. You know, we're having imaginary conversations with people that we know. You know, we're telling them what we think of them, or they're telling us what they think of us, and we're defending ourselves or whatever. It doesn't even have anything to do with what's actually going on in our dream life. It's made up crap in the mind. And yet we spend a lot of time and a lot of intense interest there. That's a good place to start losing interest. Start losing interest in the made up crap that's in the mind. And as we begin to lose interest in the made up crap that's in the mind, and we combine that with practices of learning to become aware of our awareness, our true self, we begin to reflect more on that, then what we're going to start noticing is that the reflecting on the crap in our minds was making us unhappy, and that instead reflecting on our awareness, spending time in contemplation with inspirational spiritual works, this is doing something else that seems to feel a lot better for us, a lot healthier, a lot more wholesome. We're going to start having more peace about us. We're going to be able to start carrying that peace around. And so as we lose interest just a little bit, and we gain, you know, you could say some advantage as a result of that, then we become interested in losing interest more. And this is how the detachment process happens. So back to number 317. The decision that has been made is the decision to lose interest in the world and to lose interest in thoughts about the world. The purpose of this decision is to realize true nature without any remaining delusion or belief in false self. So complete awakening, we could say. Since the world is mesmerizing to the woman and to the dreamer, loss of interest in the world and loss of interest in thoughts about the world is necessary. Without loss of interest, world-focused attention builds the illusion of false self, either woman or dreamer, as who I am. With false self-identification tied to the idea of world, there cannot be realization of that which is constant, and so there cannot be realization of truth. And again, as we've already seen tonight, consistent happiness only comes from full realization of ourself. And so it's very positive to begin to lose interest in the world, to weaken our addiction in the world soap opera by losing interest and spending more time in spiritual practices and focuses that are awakening us to ourself. Because when we put forth this effort, which it may seem like an effort, when we put forth this effort, we are now making the decision and the choice that is leading us towards that consistent happiness, which we really are, and which we somehow know within ourselves that we deserve, and which we are always seeking. We're now taking the right steps in that direction by losing interest in the world and replacing that with interest in our true self. So why don't we scroll down underneath the comment and reply area and click on number 318. And I will post this in the room. Number 318. This also comes from the Supreme Yoga. And here is the quote from the book. All enjoyments in this world are deluded. Like the lunatic's enjoyment of the taste of fruits reflected in a mirror. All the hopes of man in this world are consistently destroyed by time. I think that's a funny idea about the lunatic who's enjoying the taste of fruit, which is actually just reflected in a mirror. I mean, that's definitely a lunatic. But what he's saying is that we actually are that lunatic when we think that we are gaining happiness from the world. When we think that there's anything that we are, you know, really enjoying in the world. And, you know, and what he's really referring to, and it doesn't take a lot of looking to see that this is true, is that if I really believe my source of happiness is anything in the world, maybe even right now, today, I feel like I'm happy because of that. And maybe I can tell you in what appears to be complete honesty, because I'm a deluded lunatic, maybe what I can tell you in what appears to be complete honesty is, no, you don't understand, it's true. You know, I love walking every day. And I live in Pueblo, Colorado, where I can walk. There are trails right here in my neighborhood. I can go to the lake and walk. I can go to the river and walk. I can go into the mountains and hike. And I really, walking really does bring me joy. I walk every day. I'm more peaceful because I walk. You know, this really brings me joy. And that may even be true for the next 20 years. Maybe the next 20 years I will still be able to go outside and walk, and I will still be able to hold on to the belief, walking brings me joy. But if I live long enough in a healthy body, at some point even that healthy body will begin to deteriorate, and I'm going to find that I can't go out and walk like I used to. And if I have a firm belief in my mind that the cause of my joy was my ability to take a walk every day, now something else is going to set in. Maybe it took 20 years for it to happen. But that source of joy, that believed source of joy, could not be constant. And so now what begins to happen is I cannot walk as I begin to resent. Yeah, Cher says true. I think she's experienced this, right? Cher, you used to walk a lot, and now you don't feel like you can so much. Resentment begins to come in. You know, possibly even unworthiness comes in, possibly anger. You know, if I believe in a separate God, maybe now I hate God for taking away the only thing that ever brought me joy, right? Oh, no, Bill, I'm not planning for it. I'm teaching the point of a quote. So bear with us. Not planning for it at all, because I don't see walking as the source of my joy. Tell you what, let me go back to the quote and maybe you'll hear the point. The quote is number 318 from the Supreme Yoga. All enjoyments in this world are deluded, like the lunatic's enjoyment of the taste of fruits reflected in a mirror. All the hopes of man in this world are consistently destroyed by time. So again, what this is saying is that what we are, the truth of what we are, is eternal, right? What we are continues to exist. But if we have become deluded into thinking that we are a person, and we have become deluded into thinking that something in the world is the source of my joy. We are going to, you could say, outlive that something in the world because the world is always changing. And so eventually what will happen is the source of our joy will end. And if we had a true belief that that was the source of our joy, that's going to result in suffering. Again, the teaching that's being presented here is that the only true source of our joy is knowing ourself. Knowing ourself as we are. And then things in the world can shift and change. Maybe I can walk, and I still really enjoy walking, right? But I don't see walking as the source of my joy. And so if a time comes when I cannot walk anymore, I can surrender that. I can let go of walking because it can't be done anymore. But I do not lose my joy because I did not see walking as the source of my joy. Myself, my true self, is the source of my joy. So that's really what's being pointed out here, that we're crazy lunatics. If we say that anything in the world, any person in the world, any circumstance in the world is the source of our joy, because it can't last forever. The world is always changing. So let's go to number 318 in the journal, which is the link I gave you. And it says, what pleasures can I find in this world? What is so sweet to me that I may say, as long as I have that, I can be content in this world? Can that which I love in this world last? As time passes, will it change or be taken away? Can everlasting joy be found in the pleasures of the world? Or is every pleasure eventually turned to loss, nostalgia, and pain? And again, my interpretation of this is not that it's saying that I'm guilty if I enjoy walking. I never interpret what we call the Holy Spirit's teachings in that way. I never interpret the Holy Spirit as teaching us that we are guilty. And I do enjoy walking. What I see in this is a wisdom that asks me to remember the difference between what is the source of my joy, a wisdom that is asking me to remember the world experience always changes. So when something is here, I may enjoy it, but I want to be wise enough to realize it is not the source of my joy, so that when it is no longer here, my joy does not go with it. I continue to be joyful with whatever circumstance is presented next. That the joy is what is constant and the circumstances are allowed to shift and change. And so what this is asking for is an honest self-inquiry in order to find where we may be accidentally looking at something or someone in the world and saying that's the source of my joy. And it's a very good question. What is so sweet to me, right? This is just a self-inquiry question. What is so sweet to me that I may say, as long as I have that, I can be content in this world, right? You know, look for those things, because those are the things that when they're taken away, we will now suffer, because we have decided that is the source of my joy. So look at that. What is so sweet to me that I may say, as long as I have that, or as long as I can do that, right? I can be content in this world. And then just ask, can that, whatever that was, can it last forever? Right? Is that something eternal? Or is that something that as time passes, it can change or be taken away? And certainly if it's anything of form, wisdom knows as time passes, it can change or be taken away. And so then we have to ask, is that really the source of my joy? Right? Is there something else that is constant, that is eternal? And begin looking for that which cannot change, and allow that which cannot change to be the source of our joy. So number 318, what pleasures can I find in this world? What is so sweet to me that I may say, as long as I have that, I can be content in the world. Can that which I love in this world last? As time passes, will it change or be taken away? Can everlasting joy be found in the pleasures of the world? Or is every pleasure eventually turned to lust, nostalgia, and pain? And again, the purpose of this is just to help us to let go of believing that anything outside of us or any particular, maybe the fitness of my body, maybe if I'm somebody who works out every day and I have this really strong, beautiful body, maybe even the fitness of my body is what I say is the source of my joy. That's actually really outside of us, but many people may not perceive the body to be outside, even though it is. So is there anything, I'll say, about me, about my current condition, or anything about the world, anything in the world, that I believe is my source of joy? If so, look at it very carefully. Can it change? And am I willing to have a source of joy that is temporary? Or would I prefer to know a source of joy that is permanent, everlasting, unchanging? All right, let's click on number 319, which is at the bottom underneath the comment and reply area. And I'm going to give you a link to that as well. And I'll read number 319 from the book, The Seven Steps to Awakening. But this quote is originally coming from another book called The Supreme Yoga. And this is the quote. In this world, there is nothing, high or low, that time does not destroy. So it looks like we're continuing a little more on the same point. In this world, there is nothing, high or low, that time does not destroy. All right, so let's look at the journal. Change is the nature of the world. Therefore, anything that seems to be the source of pleasure in the world eventually changes or passes away. There is no constancy in the world, and so there can be no constant or everlasting source of pleasure in the world. And at the bottom, I just have an italics note to myself. The seeming self, the woman, shall pass away, as will her ideas and hopes of pleasure. So not only will, the ability to take walks every day at some point end, take long walks every day, but even Regina, Regina, the person, the personality, the apparent woman, that has an end. What we truly are does not have an end. But the personalities are temporary characters. It has an end. So even being attached to Regina, maybe I could say, I'm really happy that I'm Regina because I'm very smart in, this way. I'm very happy that I'm Regina because, I always have the ability, no matter how bad it gets, to find the silver lining, right? I'm very happy to be Regina because, I'm kind. I'm a kind person. I like that about me. I'm very happy to be Regina because, I was born in a middle-class America in a time when it's nice to be a middle-class American. And this being Regina, this is pretty cool. Even that ends, right? Even that ends. The attachment to this apparent me is just as foolish. I'm just as much of a lunatic being attached to this apparent me as if I was attached to anything else in the world as the source of my joy. So change is the nature of the world to the extent, we hear this as reincarnation, but to the extent that the personality itself changes. So to be attached to the personality is just as foolish as it is to be attached to anything else. To believe that I'm lucky to be me is the same mistake as to believe that anything outside of me is the source of my happiness. That's what the little note is about. So again, number 319, change is the nature of the world. Therefore, anything that seems to be the source of pleasure in the world eventually changes or passes away. There is no constancy in the world. That's the main point here. There is no constancy in the world. And so there can be no constant or everlasting source of pleasure in the world. And then note, the seeming self, the woman, shall pass away, as will her ideas and hopes of pleasure. All right, we have 5 minutes. We might have time for one more. Why don't we scroll down and click on number 320? I will also post this link in the room. And yes, hello, Gary and Cindy. Nice to see you. I'll be seeing you here in Colorado very soon. And Lynn Johnson, hooray, it's me, Lynn Johnson. Saying that to Gary and Cindy, I'm sure so they know who Sweet Dreams are, but it makes it, Lynn, it makes it funny after what I just said about loving the personality. Hooray, it's me, Lynn Johnson, yay. All right, I'm going to read from the book, The Seven Steps to Awakening. Again, this is a quote from The Supreme Yoga, number 320. Neither the world of matter nor the modes of creation are truly real. Yet the living and the dead think and feel they are real. Ignorance of this truth keeps up the appearance. So what's really interesting here is that this particular quote refers to what we would call the living and what we would call the dead. You know, you could say those between lifetimes. And this refers to both of them believing that the world is real, and that this belief that the world is real coming from both the living and the dead keeps that appearance up. Neither the world of matter nor the modes of creation are truly real. Yet the living and the dead think and feel they are real. Ignorance of this truth keeps up the appearance. So let's look at number 320 in the journal. It is said that one who has realized he is dreamer of the world can manifest anything to his liking by his desire and design. Yet the nature of the dream and world is change. So that which is manifested with desire for contentment cannot last. The world is not real, and any self that looks to the world for pleasure or contentment is not the real self. So this is looking a little higher than what we would maybe call, I mean, just for lack of a better definition right now, the fully ignorant people of the world who fully believe the world is real. This is looking even a little higher at the one at some level who has realized, ah, I'm the dreamer of the dream, right? I'm not the character, I'm the dreamer of the dream, but realizes this still with an attachment to the world, still with a belief that the world can make me happy. So this is not an awakening to the self. It's a realization, but there's still a thought that the world can make me happy. And so this one, now understanding the power of manifesting, and we hear a lot about, you know, Indian gurus who have mastered this power, begins to manifest situations and manifest things that will result in pleasure or contentment. And what this is saying is even that, you know, as Jesus would say in the Bible, even that thieves can come in and steal, or rust can take, or moths can eat, right? Even if you have the power of manifestation and you're able to seemingly make things around you the way you want them, that is still within the dream. That is still temporary. That is still changing, and you will not find contentment there. Any attachment to the world at all is going to result in sorrow at some point. And so this is encouraging full awakening to changeless self. Yeah, Bill's got the words I was looking for. Seek not what moths and rust destroy. So this is recommending, you know, full freedom from the world appearance completely. Full freedom, realization of true self, and settling for nothing less than that, not even being the magnificent manifester. All right, and with that, I am done for today. So I will let go of the mic. And y'all have fun with Gary and Cindy, and I will see Gary and Cindy and Kathy and everyone else in a few weeks in Canyon City. Good night, everyone.